Hello, my name is Chris. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is September 3rd, so just a month and a half ago. I have a sponsor, and he sponsors others. Okay, he's awesome. But I actually just finished my fifth step yesterday, so I guess a lot of this is still kind of fresh in my head. So that's kind of good. I'm gonna just pray to God that it comes out in a PG version. I guess that's where it really starts, is that I haven't really ever trusted anyone else to guide me, God or my parents or anyone. You know, I've always wanted to be different. I've always wanted to feel different. I've always wanted to make other people think I'm a certain way, and I've also wanted to change other people to the way that I wanted to think about them. I guess that's where it kind of really starts, and that's what I really realized after doing my fifth step yesterday and getting all of that out there. I guess where it starts, like, I grew up just typical Indian boy, you know, very strict. If anybody knows what Indian boys grow up like, but my parents were fairly strict. You know, being a first generation American, you know, we kept very much to our culture, and you know, hanging out with other people wasn't necessarily that great until obviously we were in public school, and that's where you know, I found something different. I found somewhere that I felt like I belonged, because I could wear so many different hats. I could be whoever I felt like I wanted to be at the time. I remember my first time, I mean, up through middle school, I had a normal life, you know, just didn't get in trouble, you know, whatever, stole candy, stuff like that. You know, always cried whenever my friends got better toys than me, and then my aunts or, you know, my friends' parents would buy me a toy afterwards, you know, to make me feel better, you know, stuff like that. So it started even before I even started using or anything like that. I was always very manipulative, even when I was the one on the receiving end, I would turn that around in some other way, you know, whether it was cheating on girlfriends, cheating on school, like tests, anything like that. I was never a very honest person. My first drink or anything was, I remember in eighth grade, right after high school, or right after the summer, right after eighth grade, between eighth and ninth grade, me and a bunch of friends got his older brother to buy us a bunch of pony kegs. So I had a whole pony keg to myself and smoked a blunt to myself and somehow woke up in my bed the next morning. I had no idea. That scared me for a couple of years. I didn't touch anything until 10th grade after that, because I just remember being like, God brought me back home. And then I was, you know, a nice boy after that for a little while. Then, of course, the social atmosphere of going to a 3,000 person high school and just high school life, like in a big town. I grew up in Raleigh. I went to all my grade school in Raleigh, North Carolina, which I guess is relatively big. I moved on to a bigger city after that. But you know, I was always trying to impress people. I prided myself on being able to hang out with the jocks, with all the black people, with all of the chess club people, all of I was in band. I was all over the place, and I took a lot of pride in that, and I wanted to make everybody in each of those groups love me, and that required me dating different girls in the different groups at the same time, which did not go very well at all. And that's, I mean, I was just manipulative, like, just all around. And so that continued. I don't know how I graduated high school, to tell you the truth. I mean, I did well in school whenever I applied myself, and my teachers saw that, and I was always a suck-up. I was even a suck-up to the teachers. You know, I was bringing them things all the times and you know, writing them little notes, and I don't know what in the world is what I was thinking. But it worked. You know, I mean, I graduated with a 3.4 out of high school, and we didn't have an attendance policy. Your teachers just had to like you. That was it. And after that, I went to college, went to NC State, which was just a whole city in itself. That didn't last very long. I got into a lot of things that dealing and things like that. Got caught with things in my dorm room that were not supposed to be there, so got expelled from there. My mom didn't talk to me for about a month. The only reason I knew she was in the house was if I heard her sobbing, crying, and my aunts and her friends were over, consoling her. I was disowned for a month pretty much. But that didn't, my parents being, the very, very strong people that they were, they weren't going to let that, stop them from retiring or, going about their plans. So they retired down to Florida, and I pretty much partied for about 4 years, and didn't care about getting back into school, didn't care about doing much of anything except for just partying and just having fun and manipulating whoever I could to get whatever I wanted. And then having like the wonderful family and stuff that I had, they gave me an out. They gave me an opportunity to move and to go up to New York and start over fresh. I was always into clothes and apparel, and I hate the word fashion, so I won't ever use the word fashion. But I got my associate's in fashion design, and then got my bachelor's in apparel merchandising, and was very happy in New York City for a while, and was looking like I was changing around. I remember one time, I still wasn't really drinking that much. I mean, just, I guess, social drinking, whatever that means. I don't know. What, 3 to 5 drinks a week? Whatever I told my substance abuse counselor at the time so that I didn't have to go to rehab. I tried to just stay as busy as possible and keep my, because I knew I wanted to go out and party. I didn't want to go back to the way I was in North Carolina. I didn't want to go back to partying and not having a future or anything. So I was absorbing myself in like the merchandising society. I was the president of a honor society. I was just trying to just get involved with as much as I could, just to kind of not have any time to do anything else, essentially. And so that worked for a while, for about a year. And then I remember having a party at my apartment, and in the morning. Having to go to a meeting at like 8 o'clock in the morning because I had to lead this session, and grabbing a cup that I thought was orange juice and chugging it, and it was just half vodka and half orange juice, and it freaked me out. I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna go to this meeting drunk. It was like one of the best meetings I ever had. It was so much fun, and like for some reason I was just on point with everything. Everything went exactly the way it should. I was making everybody laugh. I was like the center of attention in a good way. The center of attention. As opposed to being that wasted guy that was embarrassing all of my friends. And so I remember thinking that, maybe this is not a bad thing. It's not so bad, having a drink in the morning. That was kind of like the spark of my real alcoholism, igniting right then. I guess it was in retrospect. And so I started doing that before classes. I started doing that before I went to work. I mean, obviously it didn't help being a server and a bartender in New York City. I mean, it was pretty much required that you take a shift drink before your shift, and then, of course, after. So that just became a way of life for me. And for pretty much my sophomore year of college, and then I got into a program in Italy to do a study abroad program. And flew overseas, and I remember leaving. My mom was starting to feel kind of under the weather for some odd reason. It didn't make any sense because she never smoked or drank or did anything. And this was August 2004, and I was leaving for Italy at the end of August. And we had to go get blood work. I had to get blood work done for my student visa. And she went to go get some blood work done as well because she was feeling just abnormally tired. And she's the type of woman who, is constantly running around the house, washing dishes, doing all kinds of stuff. She's always buzzing around. And so I left, and I heard like a few months later that they found a growth on her pancreas. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, she's like the healthiest person I know, other than all the, she loved Taco Bell cinnamon twists and stuff like that. But it just didn't make any sense. And 3 months later, she was gone. And I was in Italy. her wish was, after she decided not to continue the chemo, was that I just stayed in Italy and finished my studies, graduated with the degree that I wanted, and I wanted to take off that year, you know, just to go home and be with her. But you know, my family was like, no, you have to honor what your mom said. That's it, you know, no choice. So I stayed, obviously. I mean, a country like Italy, the wine comes out of the fountains. So, you know, I just was drinking jugs of wine all the time, skipping school, manipulating my roommates, my classmates to do my projects for me. Obviously, they were, you know, very sympathetic to my mother passing away. So they were like, yeah, whatever, just stay home, you know, whatever you want to do. They were cooking for me. You know, I was totally manipulating them. And was miserable at the same time. It wasn't actually pleasurable for a change. And it just kept on going like that for a year. And that year went by. I finished that, graduated from college, and, you know, had a great job. You know, and that was the weird thing, is that God kept on putting all these opportunities in front of me. And I just kept on wasting them over and over again. I mean, that still continues to this day. I mean, I can't say that I have taken advantage of every single opportunity that he's given me, that's for sure. But it's something I'm definitely more cognizant of now, and something that I pray for and work towards, as opposed to just expecting it to happen and then react to it after that. Continued in New York for a while. By this point, one of my brothers lived in New York with me, and you know, we hung out all the time. And you know, I was there for when he met his now wife, and for the birth of their first son, and you know, hung out with them all the time. So they could tell something was going on, you know, that there was something that was holding me back from being happy, and from what they had seen of the Chris that was in school and had a future. And so they had paid for me to go see a therapist, which was a substance abuse. I mean, I figured that out after about three sessions. I was like, why is she asking me about how often I drink all the time, and you know, all this stuff. So of course, I did my research online and went on to some substance abuse sites to see what questions they would be asking, and I knew what to tell her, to manipulate her, to tell my family that I didn't have a problem. Oh, he's just a social drinker. He's just maybe, you know, is going through some things with his mother dying, you know, stuff like that. I used my mother passing away. So that worked for a little while, until obviously I was just getting right back into the same thing, losing jobs, switching jobs every like few months, switching apartments every few months. I mean, just, you know, having no stability whatsoever in my life, but I was perfectly happy doing it. You know, it was change. You know, for me, it was exciting. You know, it was something different. I was able to focus on something else after I was able to forget about something else. And then it kind of all came to a head when I got another really good job. They paid for me to relocate up to Boston, paid for my apartment, paid for my car, everything, and I was going in there during the corporate training program, and just on lunch break, I was the only one when all my other coworkers were going out and just having burgers or whatever, I was the one getting a pitcher and trying to get other people to share it with me. And if they didn't share it with me, I was drinking the whole pitcher on our lunch break. And obviously that did not work out very well. And at that time, I knew I needed help. And I was ready to just give up. And the only option I saw to save face with the company was to go to rehab and resign through the EAP program, the Employee Assistance Program. So that's what I did. And then I went down to rehab in Georgia and completed their program. And then I was hoping, my plan was to move back up to the city, up to Boston or to New York, and continue working. But my family and God, thankfully, was like, No. You're moving down to Florida with your dad. They lived in Newport. My mom, my dad moved to Newport Richey when they retired, and then he moved to Tampa after she passed away. And so they're like, my other brother lives in Tampa, so everybody thought it was a good idea if I, you know, lived around family for a little while for a change, which now I agree with. I mean, this was back in 2010, and I've been coming to YPG for 3 years now, you know, off and on. So I mean, I definitely recognize some of the faces, and I've been disappearing for a year at a time, you know, a year and a half, 6 months, 9 months here and there, you know. But I pray to God that I'm back for good now. And whereas before I was like, oh, I can always go back, you know. And that's one thing that I love about AA is that you know, nobody's really given up on me here, you know. And that's one thing I take seriously about the program now. And that's why I'm glad that I actually got, I mean, the last fifth step that I did was a couple of years ago with one of my other sponsors. And I decided that I would be more honest if I drank before we did our fifth step. And obviously you can imagine how that turned out. So now I finally did my fifth step sober, honestly and openly. And I know that the way that I've been doing things, my way of doing it has not worked. So who the hell am I to say not that I can't try it somebody else's way? And I'm lucky that I have an awesome sponsor and like awesome guys that will send me texts or call every now and then and check up, and that I can just shoot a text to or call whenever. And I'm just in a much, much better place now, and I'm ready to take direction rather than try to go my own direction. And I honestly have not been keeping track of time, so I think that's all I have.